back. Let's mix it up a little bit.
We got all kinds of things for you here. One-stop shop. Bam.
Yeah, buddy.
How about them apples?
I've heard good things.
I saw this meme.
Elon's gotten to the age where he no longer cares.
I've been covering the Big Ten for a while. I personally called Lovie Smith up and I said, Lovie, I will coach the linebackers. This is a proven Power 5 coach. I feel really good about it. I don't think it's going to be the same old rebuild. I think they can go to a bowl game next year.
It lines up.
My name's Jay Lay. I'm the number one stunner from the East Bank. I'm not funny, but I did have two pet bunnies. Ooh, it's nice and bright and sunny. What you say, Trevor V? You float like a butterfly, sting like a bee? Not today. Ha ha, I'm with Stevie J, that Jigga Jay Lay.
Turn down for what?
It is The Drive. Tay and Piper, except no Tay. No Piper.
It's Trevor V and Jay Lay.
That's
here
right.
To stay. What do you know? Hey.
How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing fantastic, baby. Derek Piper abandoned us because the Gavitt games are tonight and almost played Marquette, so he showed his true colors.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm throwing him in the bus right now. We all know he's all about hoops, not about football.
Yep.
But this football team has got lots of stuff going on, so we're going to chat
they
all
do.
About that.
Derek on assignment. Lon kind of on assignment.
He's got a work trip
a
in Hawaii.
Different kind of
reward
assignment.
Trip
That's
in
right.
Hawaii.
A reward
right?
Work trip, yeah.
Hold on, guys. He sells insurance, but that leads me into our sponsors, Loman Ray. If you want insurance, don't call Lon Tay. Call Loman Ray. That rhymes,
That's
folks.
A great
That's a
jingle.
Jingle for you. We'll put that on the intro cut for you next time. Loman Ray for all your insurance needs. Home, auto, habitational, life insurance, of course, health insurance. What about Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, folks? Get your appliances at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Champaign, Springfield, Decatur, Bloomington, an institution around here, and the 10-year protection plan. Great sponsor for not only this show, but Stevie J Broadcasting and ESPN 93.5. How about Milder Financial? They're our title sponsor, meaning they give us the most money to talk about them, okay? Because we believe in them. That's what it is, guys. We believe in companies that advertise. These are all companies that I use. Milder Financial does my own home loan. They do my clients' home loans. If you're looking to refinance, still historic low interest rates. If you're looking to buy a home, get a loan from champagnelender.com. That's the website for Milder Financial. And, of course, Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. Open Wednesday through Saturday night for some steak.
Nailed it.
Come on, baby.
Well, we don't have a game to talk about from this past weekend.
We don't.
We have a game to preview this coming weekend.
And usually we're very high or very low because usually we lay an egg,
yeah.
Whether it's Wisconsin or Rutgers, or we just blow out the roof. Turned out for what, right? And we have an upset win against
the roller coaster's
Penn State,
been real high and real low the last month or so. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I sit down with Illinois fans, you know, and they say I've been a fan for a long time. Like, man, a lot of ups and downs, mostly downs.
Yep,
some ups, right? It's kind of like a roller coaster. You start up, and then usually it's all about you know ups.
That's
and downs.
Right. Yeah,
anyway. But yes,
Illinois, Iowa. I mean, I don't know how much we can actually preview it at this point, but. 4-6 Illinois at Iowa. Iowa wins against Minnesota 27-22.
Right.
They started their backup quarterback, I believe.
Right.
Padilla.
Yeah, Padilla, their backup quarterback. Here's what I say about Iowa. Iowa's really owned Illinois the last decade for the most part, owning them at the line of scrimmage and really beating up the Lovie Smith teams, the Beckman teams, the Cubitt team. They're in our division, so we have to play them every year. One of six teams have to play every year. But I think if you look at the tape of the last month, so let's take Illinois over the last month, Trevor. We've got the tape where we played Penn State the week after they played them, right?
Yep.
And Iowa had a comeback win in that when Sean Clifford went out. And then we beat Penn State. We probably manhandled Penn State running the ball more than Iowa did. They won because turnovers. We played Minnesota, I think, better than Iowa played. Iowa got the win, right? But Minnesota definitely moved the ball and controlled the clock a lot.
And they had two late chances to win it.
They just couldn't win it.
They just couldn't get it done, yeah.
And so I think if you look at those two games, you got to say, wait a second here. Illinois got a chance to beat Iowa, okay? Now, we've said it over and over on this show. Northwestern, Iowa, Minnesota. Those take the most in-state recruits of Illinois players that we have a chance at. Some players we don't have a chance at right now. This isn't Illinois basketball. We got a chance at every player in the state, right? Illinois football. This is another turf war game for recruiting. we thought it'd be impossible for this team to go to a bowl, you know, after that Rutgers loss. Obviously, it wasn't impossible. It was the Harry Carey mathematically attainable
right.
in math. And now there's a limited chance. I think if you beat Iowa, you've got to say, man, there's a good chance they beat Northwestern.
Yeah.
Although Northwestern seems to have our number. These are two teams that had our numbers, and I think winning these two games can do more to prove to the Illinois fan base that things are really changing, because these are teams that have had our numbers.
Sure.
Big time.
Yeah, and you beat Minnesota, and you mentioned those three teams. You're technically 1-0 against the three teams that you're basically battling for recruits. I know Jason just texted in, Brett is 8-2 in his career coming out of a bye week and 2-0 this season. So I don't know how much stock you put into a coach coming off a bye. Obviously, as an extra week to prepare. He was out recruiting last week. I don't know. You know, that number might be fluky. I don't know, but it's a good number.
All I know is when they came out of bye this year, they beat Penn State.
Yep.
Okay? So I hope they're prepared. I definitely think it's a disadvantage for Iowa having to play a physical game against Minnesota. That's a tough game to play.
I think the backup's starting again this week, they already said.
I think Petras got benched.
Okay. I thought it was an injury situation.
No, I think Petras, I think, got benched. It might have been an injury. I could be wrong. It's hard to follow everything. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, Padilla came in, and Petras got benched. And then last week was all Padilla. So what's interesting about Iowa is they – for as good offensive line as they have, we've talked about this, they got a good running back, but they can't run the ball that well.
That's right.
Tyler Goodson hasn't had that big of a year. They'll have great NFL linemen all the time, but they can't seem to run the ball. I don't know if it's a schematic thing with Brian Ferentz being the OC. The big plays have been in the passing game. Charlie Jones has kind of been their go-to receivers. Nico Reganey, they always have tight ends, it seems like. And that's been kind of what their mojo has been offensively, but really it's about their defense creating field possession and turnovers. We have got to take care of the football, mm-hmm. right? And we've struggled to take care of the football against Iowa, especially when we get into third and long, because they're going to stop a run. Everybody's going to try to stop a run, and Iowa's some of the best at that. Peters has got to take care of the football.
It feels to me like you can tell from a pretty early point in the game whether or not the Illinois barge run thing is going to work.
It's like from play one, right?
Like against Rutgers, it seemed like the first three runs went nowhere and just nothing happened the whole game.
When you watch Penn State and you watch Minnesota, you immediately felt like we have a chance.
Right. Because of that.
When you watch Rutgers, it wasn't like we don't have a chance because it's Rutgers.
Right.
Right? But it was like, yeah, something's kind of off.
It just looked weird.
They're not the same team, right? So we're going to see early on. Now, I want to see if it is off, how do they adjust? Right? How do they make it happen? And so I think it's a huge game for the program. I mean, I know it's tough to say. We're 4-6. We're talking about huge games, right?
Sure.
But a lot of other programs right off the season, but not us, right? Got these two games, and it would be huge to go to a bowl game. You know, these next 12 days, 13 days could be huge for this program. Getting to a bowl game, getting the extra practices, and then obviously, you know, hitting the transfer portal as if you're a player in the transfer portal, you want to go to a team that has a chance to be semi-successful. And I think 6-6 obviously looks a lot better than 4-8.
Sure, and you have more, I guess, tangible things to sell them on. Even if you don't get this one this weekend, say you finish 5-7, but with two top 20 road wins, that's still something to hang your hat on.
Well, I think the word's out that Illinois is trending the right way.
Right.
I think Brett Bielema is, if you're a transfer, you're not necessarily concerned, is the coach going to be there forever? It's more, can I play right now? But I think there's very evident spots where you can play right away. I mean, just look at the production, guys. I can one look at the stat sheet and say, quarterback, receiver.
Yep.
I also look at the depth chart and say, man, we've got a lot of O-linemen leaving, mm-hmm. right? I think it's going to be tough to get some defensive transfers because we got some guys entrenched right now. But that doesn't mean it can't happen. And so I'm excited to see what happens in the offseason, but I think a win for Iowa against Iowa goes a long way.
Absolutely. And the news of the weekend, really, because there wasn't a game, Ryan Walters, the defensive coordinator, given a 3-year extension. He stands to make over $1 million, which would make him a top 10 paid defensive coordinator in the country.
Right.
Up to 1.3, I believe, with incentives. What were your thoughts on that move?
First of all, that was a brilliant move by Brett Bielema to get out ahead of it before the season ended, right? I mean, we've gone in depth about his game plan against Minnesota, taking away the RPO. His game plan against Penn State, doing a Pop Warner blitz with Tariq Barnes, blitzing in that A-gap. Very fundamentally sound defenses, and they keep making this statement. I see Brett Bielema say this a lot. It's the Illinois defense. It's not like a canned defense, mm-hmm. and he's got quite a staff. I've said this with Kevin Kane, who linebacker coach, was the D coordinator at SMU. Andy Boo's been a coordinator, I think, at Cal, Stanford, and Maryland. Obviously, Brett Bielema has defensive roots. But what I like about Ryan Walters, one, he's young, he can recruit. He comes from a different conference in the SEC, so he's a little bit more exotic than some of these other defenses that are in the Big Ten. But he's a humble guy who seems to take the collective thought of all his coordinators. And because of that, I think he's very well respected, gets along with the players well. And I think it was just a matter of time before he got an offer at the end of the season.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, do you think this sort of came on the heels of Whitman or Brett or whoever saying this guy might be poached away if we don't
do something? Think it started with this. I know how it started, but I think after the Minnesota game, during the bye week, wow, the Illinois defense is pretty darn good. We look at since the Virginia game, you know, has been really solid as far as the point. Lauren Tate wrote an article about it as well, just how solid Illinois' defense has been. And I think it came over Brett said, man, I think someone's going to try to pick this guy up. Another, let's just say higher tier Power 5 team going to try to pick this guy up, and we need to move fast. And credit to Josh Whitman, who, again, shows his commitment to football and says, let's lock him up. Guys, he's making $1 million a year as a coordinator at Illinois. That's where we're at right now. I remember when Clemson and Bama started paying their coordinators $1 million a year, probably 6 or 7 years ago. Man, Illinois is probably not even close to that. Now Illinois is there.
Right.
I remember Rod Smith went to $500,000 a year.
That's right.
It was a big deal.
Yep.
Right?
Now we've doubled that.
We're at $1 million a year, and they got some buyouts if another Big Ten team gets him, right? I mean, I think they have to buy him out for $1 million or whatnot. I think with this contract trending the way, the only way he's going to leave is for a head coaching job in the next 3 years.
And at that point, I mean, if he leaves in 2 years to be a head coach somewhere at a Power 5 program, all you can do is really tip your cap to him and root for him.
Is root for him, and what's that say about Illinois defense? They've had to go to a couple bowl games if that's the case. So we want people to take our coaches away. Usually we're giving our coaches away and paying them for 3 or 4 years, right? I mean, are we still paying the Bettman buyout? I'm not sure the details.
But,
the Lovie Smith, and obviously only one coach is in on his own terms here since 1960, since Ray Elliott, right?
Yep.
Not even Pete Elliott ended on his own terms in the early 60s. Only Makovic, who left for Texas.
Right.
So we're talking about 61 years now that nobody's left on their own terms. I hope it's Brett Bielema. I hope he stays for a long time and able to retire. We build a statue outside of him. You know, like they build a statue of Barry Alvarez outside Wisconsin.
That'd be great.
We would all love that because we're ready for a winner.
That's for sure. I was reading something today about the Walters extension that said, and again, this is all just, speculation, but one of Bielema's biggest frustrations at Wisconsin with Alvarez was that they basically wouldn't pony up for coordinators and they'd let him go.
Right.
So he's got to be feeling good about the fact that Whitman is showing this amount of...
That's a really good point, Trevor. I mean, that was really the reason that many speculated that he up and left after 3 Big Ten titles and went to Arkansas. He couldn't get his coordinators paid what they wanted to. But Josh Whitman's showing right now, we're willing to pay our coordinators what they're worth. And they were actually able to get Brett Bielema for a little cheaper than, say, a regular head coach would be in this day and age, because he was not on the street. He was an NFL position coach.
Sure.
But I just think it all worked out right with it. Now, we got to remember, both of the Illinois coaches, Lovie came after the recruiting season in April, and so he kind of got the coaches that were just kind of available, right? Brett came, I think, 3 days before early signing date, so he doesn't get to recruit any players.
Correct.
But he did get the time where coaches are transitioning, and I think that helped him build a much better staff.
That's a good point.
Than Lovie. And so the timing of it really makes a difference. I still think Brett's the guy. I got to listen to his press conference a little bit. He talked about the demeanor of Ryan Williams is what he really liked. He only interviewed one guy. He was going to interview multiple guys, but just Ryan Walters really blew him away.
Interesting.
And so I think he's been very, very successful with the players he has now. And not only the schemes are on, but the development of those players.
Right.
How many times have we seen the team get worse as the year goes on? I feel like we're getting better.
No,
and that's
you're right.
Tip your hat to the coaches and the schemes.
I mean,
and
you lost Jake Hansen.
You lost your defensive leader.
And normally you'd think that would just be, forget about it. I mean,
and from what I saw, I think Calvin Hart was our second best linebacker. We lost him the first week of the season, right? And, the difference I see all over, but especially in the secondary play, I mean, Kirby Joseph might be an all Big Ten safety this year.
He's been incredible.
I mean, he is like the Pro Football Focus highest rated safety in the country. He leads the league in like interceptions as a safety, in fumble recoveries. Kirby Joseph's the real deal. Sidney Brown's the real deal as a strong safety. Devin Witherspoon's going to be an NFL corner. We've got some players in different spots, guys.
Tariq Barnes has filled in nicely.
Tariq Barnes and Kalen Tolson. I'm not even talking about the front line. We know about Johnny Newton. We know about Keith Randolph. Rod Perry's done well as well. Those are kind of your anchor points, though, building for the future. Rod Perry, Keith Randolph.
Mm-hmm. Now, do I, as a fan, read in, stop me if I'm reading into this too much by saying this amount of demonstrative effort to support Ryan Walters, and then in my head I'm going, okay, so what's Tony Peterson thinking right now?
Well,
as he watches. Now, I get it, because Walters has gone above and beyond, right? It's been a superb defensive performance, all things considered. I just have to wonder what Tony Peterson is thinking with an offense that, and again, how much of it is his fault? I don't know. They've sputtered a lot, quarterback problems. But what do you, I guess, what do you make of the fact that they're so committed to keeping the defensive coordinator, but, you know, silence, I guess, on the offensive side.
So I think right now, I love Tony Peterson. I don't think the college football world or he himself sees himself being a head coach someday. I think he's probably 55 to 60 years old. I'm just guessing there. And good football coach, but probably going to stay a coordinator. I think everybody knows that Ryan Walters is going to be a head coach. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if he's 35 years old, he's probably going to be a head coach someday, 35, 36 years old. And he's had success. This is his second Power 5 team, SEC, now Big 10. He's been a coordinator and had success. Okay,
so young age, yeah.
Yeah, so it's only a matter of time before he gets picked up. He's shown ability to recruit, relate to players, work with staff. So, yes, and what I love about sports is it's very objective, not subjective. We look at the numbers. We can see the improvement defensively. We can see the lack of improvement in some areas offensively, mm-hmm. right? And so you have to look at it as anybody else will look at it. And whatever your results are going to basically predicate the desire of other teams to bring you in or hire you.
That's fair.
And so the same park district, where everybody's got to play the same amount of time, right? This is big-time college football, and you get rewarded for production. Obviously, Ryan Walters' defense is produced.
Yep, absolutely. And that's a big reason why we're sitting here still talking about. I keep waiting to take out the, this team could go to a bowl game line by you in our intro, but I just can't do it. maybe
that
this week.
That was going to be edited out.
Yeah, well,
when we got it. But this team has surprised people. I felt like they were left for dead after that Wisconsin game. If you were in the stands of that Wisconsin game, wow. I mean, I actually went to that game in person. Brought my family in the five-pack of tickets was. Mm-hmm. You know, I was spending money on Dippin' Dots and hot dogs and sodas and everything and watching my Illini get worked. Now, Wisconsin's playing better than anybody in the Big Ten right now, in my opinion.
Six in a row, yeah.
I think they'll beat, if they get into the championship, I think they'll beat Ohio State.
Really?
Heard that from me first.
Interesting, okay.
Even though Graham Mertz has been the worst. I just think defensively they can actually hold up against Ohio State. And I think defensively Ohio State's not that great. But that being said, this team was a little bit left for dead after that Wisconsin game.
Sure.
We got so far to go. And we had that bye week, 5 games left. But I mean, this is done.
14 days to think about the 24-0 loss.
And Brett says that on Wednesday after that game, they came out of their best practice yet. You know, so there's something with this team, and I just hope they can sustain it these next 2 games and be in the hunt for a bowl game. Because I think it'd be exciting, but Brett's got to go in the right way.
Because I after that Lovey year that ended in a bowl game, hesitate to say I've seen what I need to see, I'm good. Right, because we sort of said that with the Wisconsin upset followed by the Michigan State upset. You're 6-4. Then you go on a 3-game losing streak to end the year, right, where you lose to Marty. Yeah,
that's true. They could have been 8-4.
Right. So they lose to Iowa close. Then they come home, lose to like 2-9 Northwestern or whatever.
Right.
And then get blown out in the bowl game. And suddenly, after sitting there at 6-4 going, you know, I'm good. This was a good year. Suddenly you're starting to, you know, that doubt creeps back into your mind. So to your point, you know, I don't want to see him go out and get blown out by Iowa, lose at home to Northwestern. You're sitting there 4-8, and suddenly whatever momentum you feel that you had is starting to.
It's fragile. Yeah, our confidence is fragile. We get excited, right? But it's fragile right now. And so, I at the end of the day, I truly believe Illinois is headed in the right direction. It always takes longer for football, but at this point, it looks better than the other rehabs we've had in year one, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And we've had wholesale rehabs. I've been part of the wholesale rehabs at times, right? And so at least we're in games. He's shortening games. We're more competitive. We're playing complementary football, which is the term of 2021, right? Mm-hmm. We play complementary football. Our defense helps our offense. Our special teams kick in, no pun intended, and it all works.
Well, and just the margin of defeat alone. I mean, we were talking about, you know, since the Virginia game. I know some of those sting, but they sting because they were close, right? Purdue was 4 points. Maryland was 3. I know Wisconsin was 24. That's a bit of an outlier, but I mean, it was really like 17 the entire game, and you just couldn't get going. So, I mean, you just compare that to, I mean, heck, any Lovey year where you've got these, you know, outlier performances where it's like 63-0.
In 2018, they had 3 games in which the defense gave up 63 points.
That's crazy.
That's astounding. Not just a 63-0 one. I mean, that was, I mean,
that was the worst.
I think people thought about firing him after that.
Yeah.
I think they had to do a save piece in the News Gazette to try to, like, you know, you know, the media had to come to the rescue. You know, we're going to do it. And, you know, so the funny thing is if a coach or an AD makes a statement about a coach, it's not good.
Right.
Usually it's like
one of those little blurbs.
We still stand beside him, you know, whatever it is. Usually it's just like red flags. Well,
that just happened for it.
Scott Frost! We've seen it happen politically. I think it happened the other day, too, for Kamala Harris. People talked about that, right? Whenever somebody makes a statement,
it's usually not a good
thing. It's not good, right?
Yeah, right.
And so, yeah, Scott Frost. I love the Scott Frost one, right?
We can keep using that button for another year now. So.
Well, because he's going to be around. Right. So, we could be Nebraska. We're in a better spot than Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy.
I don't even think it's close.
I think we could be in a better spot than Northwestern with how we're trending right now. Mm-hmm. Northwestern has to figure out the quarterback situation. I think Fitzgerald's a great coach. I just think we're in the mix.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing is to just get momentum in college football. We're getting momentum.
Absolutely. It is the Jay Layman Hour. No Lon, no Derek, but Jay and I are here. You can find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5. Podcasts are on all platforms. Find us on tayandpiper.podbean.com, cvj.com, cvjay.com, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can watch Jay and I on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5. When we come back, let's hit on some of the Big Ten action from this past weekend. Rutgers.
38-3.
Rutgers.
Against Indiana. And I'm going to call the Indiana game this week. Let's go.
And I asked for your questions on Twitter for Jay. Some of them legit. Some of them very interesting. We'll answer those as well.
Yeah, hit us back. Let's go.
It is the Jay Layman Hour on The Drive.
The holidays are fast approaching, and supply chain issues are making everyone shopping a lot harder. Don't wait till the last minute and get stuck in the cold. Get the Game Day Spirit, where there's something for every Illini fan on your list. They've got the top brands like Nike, Columbia, Champion, and more. Shop local and find the best selection of Illini apparel, home decor, and unique gift items. Can't decide? Grab a Game Day gift card and let them pick out the perfect gift. Find them at Neil and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces.
Here's what people are saying about Sarah Champagne.
They offered amazing service and had wonderful hospitality, kindness, and a willingness to work within our budget and offer the best possible price. And the staff were very welcoming and polite.
I mean, could I put 6 stars? They were actually the best dealership anybody in my family has ever used. They made me feel like I was their only customer. Honestly, not sure how they could be better.
Choose from a wide variety of Honda, BMW, Subarus, and some of the best pre-owned vehicles and more at Sarah Champagne, off Burwash and Savoy, or online at sarahchampagne.com.
This football season, make sure you rush into Dick Van Dyke Appliance World like a middle linebacker who got the blitz signal. They have a brand new showroom ready to knock your cleats off. The remodel has customers buzzing. The selection is off the charts with plenty of in-stock appliances to choose from. Also, check out the new wall mural starring Dennis and your favorite local All-American linebacker. Dick Van Dyke is now offering financing that's interest-free until January 2023. Stop in the store or start your appliance shopping now at appliance-world.com.
Mark your calendars for the 54th annual Turkey Trot Thanksgiving morning at Crystal Lake Park in Urbana. It's totally free, and the first 800 participants will get a ribbon. Registration at 8 a.m. The Turkey Trot steps off at 9 a.m. Gather near the lake house at Crystal Lake Park in Urbana for prizes to follow. It's a great way to start Thanksgiving. For details on the 54th annual Turkey Trot, visit UrbanaParks.org. Urbana Park District, you belong here.
I'm Ben Quattrone, owner-operator at Sarah Champagne. I enjoy a good game like anyone else, but not when I'm buying a car. At Sarah Champagne, located in Savoy, we've got multiple franchises, and we're transparent, no haggle, no BS, no hassle, and our price is generally lower than anywhere else you'll find. We've always got 30 cars under $10,000. We have luxury models, too. We do business a little differently at Sarah Champagne. Most of our customers really appreciate it. Visit SarahChampagne.com, SarahChampagne.com, and look at 500 cars.
Drive in, drive out. Recycling's what Max is all about. You can make some cash and do your share. We make it really simple because we care. It doesn't matter, large or small. Our friendly staff will handle it all. Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
Hey, Line Eye fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
Back here on The Drive, it is the Jay Layman Hour. Trevor Valise, Jay Layman in studio. Jay, we're getting a text that says, can we start telling our recruits about Northwestern being last in the Big Ten West two of the last 3 years?
Or we could say, well, two of the last 3 years, yes. But if we go back, what is it, 4 years, they've also won the division
twice
in 2018 and 2020. Yeah. That was good, though. I like that.
Good cherry picking of the
I
staff,
love the
though.
Cherry pick, yeah. Though. You know, it's kind of like us. Two of our last three games, we beat top 20 opponents on the road.
Ignore the Rutgers thing.
Yeah. That's basically say what that guy's saying.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the text, though. We love everybody texting.
Oh, yeah, on the Illini Link text line. Let's start with Rutgers as we go through some of these Big Ten games. 38-3 over Indiana. I think Indiana's, what, 2-8 now?
So talk about falling off the map. Indiana's like, you know, if you remember last year, okay, let's go back to last year. Remember Ohio State only played 5 games?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to rewrite the rule book to get Ohio State into, into the Big Ten championship game?
Yep.
Because we all knew Michigan wasn't going to play that football game, you know, because of the COVID or whatever.
Yeah, they just, like, quit at that point.
Yeah, because it was supposedly COVID, right?
Right.
Well, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We don't know. But I will say this. They changed the rules. And Indiana was going to make the game because they had played 6 games or whatever. And, you know, people thought they'd turn around. I like Tom Allen as a coach. I thought he was building something special. Lost the quarterback. But the defense has been horrible this year. Horrible. Rutgers is better than people give him credit for, though. Shiano's got that thing. They're 5-5.
They're
going to play Maryland
at home to end the season.
In the last game. And it's going to go for who's going to go to a bowl game.
Yep.
Gee, Maryland Rutgers. Dude, in the Big Ten East, they're going to bowl games.
Pretty much the entire East except for the loser of that game.
Correct. Right?
So you
got
Indiana.
And you've also got like a 9-win Michigan State team, a 9-win Michigan team, a 9-win Ohio State team.
All with one loss.
Right.
Now, some of that's going to,
they
got to
play each other, right? They're going to cannibalize a little bit. They'll all end up with 10 wins possibly.
Yep.
Especially with the bowl game. All right. So, Rutgers is better we give credit for. I think Shiano's doing a great job. Ohio State, on the other hand, you know, one thing that shocked me in that first half was they scored like 42 points in like 20 minutes of game time.
Yep.
But they also, Purdue was putting up points too, left and right. It was like, if there was ever a game that looked like an SEC game, it was that game in the Big Ten.
Florida-Samford broke out.
Oh, gosh.
And Ohio State-Purdue.
Yes. So, a little bit like that. You know, Jeff Brohm having a breakout year with some of his wins that he had, but he's still in that 6-win spot. I mean, they've still lost some games, right?
I thought they would keep I think the spread was like 22. I thought they'd keep it within that, but Ohio State just boat raced them for the most part.
Boat race. Great term
there.
Thank boat race. And then Michigan, here's the thing about Michigan.
They feel better to me than what we've seen in the past from Harbaugh, right?
I think they're better. I'm not a believer in McNamara, the quarterback, but I think O-line, they're running the football. Defensively, they've always been solid defensively. I mean, Don Brown for all those years, now it's not Don Brown, it's a new coach, but I think they're solid. Aiden Hutchinson is, you know, like the number 2 overall prospect in the upcoming draft, according to Mel Kiper. He's their DN, number 97. And they've always got players on the D-line, on the DBs and whatnot. I think they're going to give Ohio State a game. They should have beat Michigan State.
They should have.
But then they kind of...
Kenneth Walker.
Kenny Walker, you know. I don't know if I got Kenny Walker or David Bell as my MVP. I think David Bell is the most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kenny Walker will probably win it because he had a special year in the Big Ten. But David Bell totally changes the game for Purdue when he's in, as we've seen in their wins against Iowa and against Michigan State.
And really, even in that win against Illinois, you could tell why they weren't doing well offensively because he was out with that concussion.
Yeah, he was out, right? Totally different game and changes the quarterback situation. MSU beat Maryland 40-21.
Easily covered the spread there. Walker goes again for basically 150 yards, 2 touchdowns.
The funny thing is I heard the commentators say, we talked to the Maryland coaches, and they said, bring your big boy pads and your friends to talk to Kenneth Walker. And I remember them telling me the same thing when we played Wisconsin, Illinois, Loxley and Zook. Bring your big boy pads. You know, it's like these lines are just recycled, right? We use the same old lines over and over again. And, of course, let's talk about Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's playing the best football. I mean, they boat raced, to use your term. Boat race Northwestern 35-7.
Boat race feels too respectful for whatever that was.
Well, they look, Northwestern looked as bad as we did against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Maybe worse.
Same deficit, right? It's just that they scored 1 touchdown.
Right. And I would say this, Wisconsin's got it together right now defensively. I think they're giving up like 7 points a game over the last 6 games.
That's crazy.
They started tough. I mean, they had Penn State when Penn State was 100% healthy.
Then they went to Notre Dame in that neutral site game.
Notre Dame. Then they lost to Michigan. You know, that shows a lot about Michigan. Michigan beat them pretty handily.
They did. I think it was like 38-17 or something like that. Yeah.
Right. And so, I think that's – when you go around the Big Ten, I think you got Iowa, Minnesota. We talked about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But Iowa consistent as ever. Minnesota just always seems like – when I think about the football teams, I think Iowa and Wisconsin just seem like the physical menaces of the Big Ten West. Minnesota is trying to be there, but they never quite get there.
Yeah.
And Northwestern's not as consistent.
Purdue's more like...
Nebraska, Purdue are kind of like, we're going to throw the ball around the yard, gadgets.
Right.
Illinois is trying to be like Wisconsin, Iowa, right?
And I'll take the Minnesota territory for now if that's where we fall, right?
Sure.
6-6 with some 8-4s or something. I mean, I'd take it.
We'll take bowl games
absolutely
at this point, right?
Yep,
Absolutely. We'll take bowl games.
Penn State 6-4. I don't know that they're necessarily bad, but they just haven't looked good lately.
They've lost four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were started at 6-0, lost to Iowa, lost to Illinois, lost to Michigan, and one other team they lost to.
They beat Maryland last week.
They beat Maryland? They did beat Maryland.
So maybe they've lost three of their last four.
Either way, though,
I mean, I think the over-under for them was like 9.5, and they're sitting there at 6-4 right now. So
they're not playing great ball.
No. And I don't know if Clifford's fully healthy. He doesn't really seem like he has been since he's come back.
Yeah.
But
I think he's banged up.
Yeah. So Ohio State, you've got Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State basically vying for the Big Ten East title, right?
What else is new?
And then you've got...
I mean, does it ever change? I mean, between the top four over there, right? And I'm sure Michigan State will come out on top. I think Michigan will give them a run. I don't think Michigan State's going to give them a run. I think Michigan State's going to get, not boat race, but I do think they just don't have the firepower offensively. Unless Kenneth Walker just owns them. I like Peyton Thorne, another Illinois recruit, Illinois player, Naperville Central. Him and Jaden Reed, both Naperville Central kids, and they're starting center as well. Hinsdale Central. It just Michigan State gets a lot of players from Illinois.
That's
as well.
True, they do. And if you want to talk about transfer, I mean, Tucker came in there and basically hit the portal so hard, and he got Thorne, he got Walker. Now Walker's obviously, I mean, it's easy to say.
The thing is, Walker could have been on a 9-1 Wake Forest team too.
Yeah.
Well, Wake Forest would be like a national title contender with Walker there. But I would say this is, you know, he got Ronald Williams from Alabama at corner, got Chester Kimbrough from Florida at corner, Hurst, I think, or Horst, left tackle. Obviously, Kenneth Walker. They've got two legit wide receivers in Naylor, Jalen Naylor, Jaden Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, got Walker. And Peyton Thorne, I think, is an NFL quarterback. He's not going to go for the NFL this year, but he's going to be an NFL quarterback. And so they got players, and they hit the transfer portal, and, you know, Mel Tucker's getting it done. Mel Tucker just reminds me of just – he's got a lot of Saban in him. You watch him on the sidelines. He's got that scowl, and obviously coached under Saban at Alabama a little bit and was at Michigan State, I believe, during Saban's first run.
Yeah, that's right, way back when. There are. This is just an idle thought I had watching these games. There are a lot of good wide receivers in the Big Ten. I mean, between Ohio State's
Olave and Garrett
Olave
Wilson,
and Njigba and Wilson. I mean, those three
and
are
Jameson
all really
Williams
good.
And Jameson Williams transferred from Ohio State because he couldn't even play there, so went to at Alabama.
Yep.
You got John Dotson at
Penn State, feels like he gets like 20 targets a game. We were just talking about Bell.
David Bell.
I mean, someone's going to be left
Naylor,
off
Jaden
the first
Reed.
Team All-Big Ten wide receiver list that shouldn't be.
That's for sure. They got a lot of guys that can really play. Wisconsin's got some decent guys in Kendrick Pryor. What about Illinois? Oh, wait. That's one program that didn't have good. I mean, the receiver of the year is Ty Freifogel last year.
That's right.
In Indiana. He's not doing anything this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Indiana's not doing anything.
There are some great receivers, mostly in the Big Ten East. We didn't even mention the Maryland guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Who Dante like Demas.
The two fastest clocked receivers, according to PFF. So.
Right? I mean, Jayshon Jones, Dante Demas, Rakim Jarrett. They got receivers in this league.
Who would have thought Rutgers, Maryland, 2 weeks from now, might be the tune-in, 2:30, Big Ten Network, bowl game on the line game, instead of the... throw it on the alternate channel at 11 a.m. game.
There you go. I would agree. I wouldn't see come up, but I do think that both those coaches fit there. Loxley fits with his DMV connections.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Greg Schiano fits, right?
He's already fit, so why not do it again?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody was going to accept any coach other than Schiano at Rutgers at this point.
Yeah.
And he was available, so you got to go after and get him, and the guy knows how to win at Rutgers. So the thing I like, though, is that I see Illinois – getting itself into the middle of the pack of the Big Ten. We've been at the bottom for so long, Trevor. That's the sad part, right? But you know who's not at the bottom? Mulder Financial.
There you go.
Mulder Financial actually is our title sponsor, guys. If you're looking to refinance or get a home loan, Mulder Financial is the way to go. Hit them up at champagnelender.com for all your local lending needs. If you're in Chicago, you can get them for a lender as well, too, if you're listening on podcasts. If you need an appliance, Dick Van Dyke Appliance. Well, guys, you guys got to check out Dick Van Dyke Appliance World in Champaign on North Neal. Go walk in there and ask for the 5 to 10 year protection plan. Great service, great sales. Long Branch Steakhouse. You're hungry for a steak? Go check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown eclectic downtown Gifford. I said downtown twice.
That's all right.
But what Loman Ray Insurance? You get a loan, you got to have insurance. You do have a car, got to have insurance. You got health, got to get insurance. You have a life, get insurance. There's lots of things to insure. So Loman Ray is your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs at Loman Ray Insurance.
What was our jingle? Don't listen to Lante, get Loman Ray or something.
Don't listen
like that.
To Lante. Don't buy from Lante.
There you go.
You got to go with Loman Ray.
Okay, all right.
So call today.
And tell him Jay Lay sent you.
Tell him Jay Lay sent you.
Jay, we have questions for you. You ready for
Let's
Ask
go.
Jay?
I appreciate the text questions.
So we got a few on the text line. 1217 says, can you please discuss the offense? Love what Bielema has done, but think he will always have a weak offense.
Okay, so great question, but always is a strong term, okay? I don't think they had a weak offense when they won some Big Ten championships in 2010, 2011, 2012. Russell Wilson was the quarterback in 2010. That helps, right?
Yeah.
For a potent offense. But they had some good offensive. Think about this. John Clay, Melvin Gordon.
Jonathan Taylor.
Dante Ball, right? Jonathan Taylor was after
right,
him.
Right.
But same model, right?
Those, backs,
are,
yeah,
those
yeah.
are some of the running backs they had. They had some great receivers in there that they threw to. Great tight ends. Obviously, offensive linemen, some defensive players. So I don't think that the offense is always ho-hum. Is it exciting like I'm watching Ohio State or I'm watching Alabama? No. But I think in time, they would love it to be like a Georgia offense where they run the ball with some big old linemen behind them and some tailbacks,
mm-hmm.
but have the ability to throw the football. Am I going to say we're going to get skill guys like Georgia? Probably not. But I think that's the ideal, right?
Sure.
They want to have that run game identity when the weather gets bad, like it is now, we got to be able to run the football. And we're not playing on SEC grass at 6-degree weather in November, right? We're playing 20-degree weather, sleet. Let's run the football. Let's control the clock. Play complimentary football.
There you go. We basically got three or four versions of that on Twitter. How would Jay fix the offense? And you kind of laid it out there.
Well, so if we're going to fix the offense, here's some of the things I would do. They actually did some of this stuff in the Minnesota game. One, I would run the quarterback more, okay, with design quarterback run. Peters is a better athlete. People give him credit for
it. Yeah.
So let's run the quarterback more. Let's bootleg more. Get the tight ends on the boot like we did the Tip Ryman or Barker or Luke Ford with an option to run or pass. Let's run Wildcat four or five times with Isaiah Wims. He's our best player. We can't give him the ball, throw him the ball a lot. So let's give the ball.
The only way to guarantee he gets the ball.
Well, he's our best athlete. He's
right,
the best player. But, okay, I would like to run two or three jet sweeps or reverses to Isaiah Wims, okay? I would also like to see Chase Brown also work some more edge plays as well. So getting the ball on the edge. A lot of times I run in the middle. He does do the edge on the zone. So I'd like to see that. Sometimes, though, the fixes are we got to recruit different players. And we got to get some receivers. There's nobody right now that can stretch the field. I think the offensive line has played really good run blocking. They did good protecting in the Minnesota game. But we're going to have some big holes offensive line-wise once those guys graduate.
Yep, for sure. This one. Maybe not something people are considering or worried about right now. How do we keep Brett Bielema at Illinois long-term and hope we don't lose him to someone else?
Well, that's a good question.
It'd be a good problem to have, I guess.
First of all, we want somebody to take our coach, right? Because if somebody takes our coach, it means we've been winning. So we don't personally want him to take away our coach.
Right.
But we want to win, right?
Right.
We haven't had anybody do that since Makovic. Texas came and got Makovic, right? I think the thing you'd have to think about is, who could offer him in the Big Ten that would maybe offer Brett Bielema? Maybe Iowa, if he was really good? Because I could see that. You know, he's kind of the Iowa
retires.
Style.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's an alum. We're miles away from that. And I think they've been trying to make Brian Ferentz the heir apparent. Whether that will happen or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Right? And this is a program that's had two coaches in the last 42 years with Hayden Fry and Kirk Ferentz.
That's crazy.
But we won't even talk about the coaches we've had. We've lost count. But I want to see Brett Bielema's got away before anybody asks him to be a head coach somewhere else. But I'll tell you what, he turns around the program in 2 or 3 years. He could have some people calling for sure.
When is it time to start talking about Memorial Stadium renovations again?
Well,
interesting question.
I think there was a plan at some point a couple years back to do the south end zone, right?
That's right, yeah. And it would go up.
Try to get to the same level as the east-west stands.
Yeah, yeah.
The tricky thing is you're a little bit landlocked there with Florida Avenue right there, Kirby or Florida, whatever you want to call it, is right there.
Yeah, you can't really back up much.
So it's of my opinion that they just need to build out the stadium and block off Kirby Avenue from there and build it into the Assembly Hall parking lot and just make one big kind of, not a colonnade area, but kind of like a court area in between the football and basketball. That's like a field, like a commons area.
I like that.
we just don't go through curb anymore. You got to go around. You got to make St. Mary's Road a better road than it currently is for a thoroughfare.
Mm-hmm.
We adjust it, and we build that south end zone. Listen, do it right this time because you're not going to do it again at this point, right? I mean, if you're trying to adjust the stadium. And I think that gets us some more fans. Not that we're filling it up now, but it will get our capacity back up to kind of what it was. I also think you could build a legit, not that we need it because we have the Smith Center, but you could build a legit commons area inside the stadium where the present horseshoe is, kind of like just a mixing area for the common folk that can't go up in the colonnades, you know?
Sure.
So I think that could be kind of cool as well.
I like that. Jay Lehman, architect.
I just think we need to get ideas. The Kirby Avenue thing is a menace because it's a big thoroughfare.
Sure.
Right? But I just think we need a whole plan to make it happen. I also think I'm looking for anybody who wants to, you know, basically put apartment buildings on top of the present, parking lots. We could keep all the same parking, put buildings above it. I think it'd be a cool space.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get rid of the parking, but we just have these vast parking lots. They're taking up prime real estate in Champaign. So those are my ideas about it.
And of course, contact Jay.
Contact me, of course, for all your needs. That's your idea, right? So that's our idea. But I do think they need to make a commons area in between the stadium. Now, they just raised money for the Smith Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
But money will come in if we win. That's what it's about. Money comes in if you win. If they win, I think that's on Brett Bielema's agenda, but probably not this year.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Speaking of stadiums, someone asked, what are Jay's favorite Big Ten stadiums and least favorite?
Oh, man, my least favorite is Planet Iowa because they're right on top of you.
Okay.
I had a nightmare game there. I mean, I like Planet Ohio State. It's rowdy. We beat them. But I like it when it's silent there. Which one was it? It was silent.
Uh-huh.
What's interesting about Penn State is it's big from the inside, but if you've ever seen Penn State from the outside, it's in a very small town in Pennsylvania, middle of Pennsylvania, very hard to get to. It's like an erector set from the outside. Talk about adding on a stadium. They've added on like 6 or 7 times.
Interesting.
And there is no continuity. Like our stadium, and Joe Paterno said this himself, our stadium is the most beautiful stadium from the outside, probably in the Big Ten. I mean, Michigan doesn't look that big for being the Big House. It's sunken down.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State's huge, but it doesn't have it has some of the architecture, but not the great architecture of what I love in Memorial Stadium with the columns and whatnot.
Sure.
And so some of these are really sunken down. Rowdy Camp Randall, that's got, you know, it's a great atmosphere, fun to play there. I never played at TFC Bank Stadium or what is it, a Huntington Bank or something.
Yeah.
At Minnesota. I played in the Metrodome, which is garbage. Had to play there in the NFL as well. You talk about a dome that was revolutionary for its time, but by the time I played in it, it was not. That was the Metrodome.
Okay.
And not a very great college atmosphere. I think it was a mile or two away from campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was difficult. Purdue's funny because they're right on top of you at Purdue as well. So those are some of my stadium stories.
There you go. Jay Lehman, the
architect. Never played in Nebraska.
And stadium stories. Never played in Nebraska.
Only done one game at Nebraska.
Okay, so you've only been there once.
Yeah, it's nice.
They release all those balloons when they score.
Yeah.
Except sometimes they don't score till like midway through the second quarter, and I wonder what everyone's doing with their balloons.
Well, the problem is sometimes they have so many penalties, sometimes they get called back. They release balloons, and it's a penalty. Whoops, you can't bring them back.
You can't bring them back. Jordan on the text line said, how would Jay change Illinois' uniforms if it was up to him?
Okay, great question. First of all, I don't like orange digits. I like white digits. That might mean an announcer thing. It's just hard to see colored digits from the box.
Especially if the jersey's colored too, right?
Yeah, the jersey's colored, and there's no outline, right?
Right.
So if you're going to have a colored digit, at least outline it. I like white digits, number one. I like big numbers in the back, small numbers in the front. Okay, that's kind of my thing. I like that. I think you need to get back. I think the number one swag uniforms were those 07 uniforms. We had some swag in 07. Mm-hmm. Now they're just kind of like, they're just kind of run the mill. We look like Syracuse.
Okay? Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Right? I think we need to put a little more white back in it. I love the white face mask that we have. I think that makes
Bielema's trying, right? Because yep. I think you're under contract. You know, you can't in the middle of a season.
Right. They got the helmet.
The one
thing that's different about Illinois is the white face mask.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it pop a little bit. I always like how the white face mask looks. I like what he did with the helmet. Okay. I think we need to put a little more white in the jersey, some more stripes. I think they're going to do that. They're going to try to swag out the unis for 2022.
I'm with you. What would your dream role, this was from Twitter, be in the broadcast booth? Name a network or conference or game to cover or something like that.
Well, you know, I usually get some of the lower, let's just say the lower tier games for Big Ten Network. So first off, I would love to do a game like Michigan, Ohio State. I would love to do a game like the Iron Bowl. I would love to do the Red River Shootout. All the rivalries, right? I mean, I think that would be fun.
Illinois Northwestern, of course. You know, right up there.
I might do that game this year. I'm not a huge Notre Dame fan. I always feel like there's like some lore to call Notre Dame game. I would not be a huge fan of doing
it. I mean,
there is.
They're pretty uppity. Let's just be honest.
They get their own network with NBC. So those are kind of things I would want to call. The NFL, you know, this is interesting, but the NFL rules are different enough that I've called enough football that you can get mixed up on some of these NFL rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't necessarily want to do that. I would love to call an Illinois game when Illinois is in the Rose Bowl. I think that'd be awesome. That'd be of course you want to do a playoff game, but guys, only Kirk Herbstreit does playoff games, right?
it's a high bar to set for yourself. It's hard, right?
Yeah. I mean, of course you want to do those games, but that would be fun.
If Jay could commentate any other sport, what would he enjoy most?
That's a great question. You know, I played basketball.
You and Pipes on a basketball
call,
okay? I
ran track, right? I don't know if I could do either of them well. I don't know hockey enough, nor wrestling enough, but I would probably do hoops. You know, I could at least know what's going on.
You could find your way through it.
I could pretend it, fake it till I make it. But, you know, watch Bello do what he does.
There
you go. Know, make plays, get technicals, whatever it may be.
That sums it up.
but I'd probably do hoops.
And finally, from former producer of this and other shows, Harry Black, who would win in a fight between the Hamburglar and Grimace?
Wow.
Now, I had to Google Grimace.
I didn't know what Grimace was until I asked you.
He's like the purple. He kind of looks like Barney. He's like a giant purple mascot for McDonald's, I guess. He's like a monster. And, of course, the Hamburglar is the guy who's stealing the hamburgers.
Probably the Cookie Monster would probably, you know, DDT or Stone Cold Steve Austin, both of them. Harry Black, his jersey's up in the stand. Up in the studio.
It is.
A legend himself. but I'll go with the Cookie Monster, you know.
Okay. So you're going off script to Sesame Street to defeat both the McDonald's mascots.
Okay, gotcha. So Hamburglar is a McDonald's guy.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Oh, it's Count Dracula. He's a Sesame Street guy too, right?
Well, he's not Dracula. He's just the Count. But yeah, he's dressed like Dracula.
Yes.
And he counts.
Guys, I didn't watch Sesame Street when I was a kid, so you got to forgive me.
Hit our sponsors one more time.
Mahler Financial for a home loan and refinance. Lohman Ray for all your insurance needs, not Lante. So call Lohman Ray, not Lante, today. Boy, we are dogging Lon today. Gifford, not Gifford. Go to Gifford for Long Branch Steakhouse for your steak and four sides. I mean, you get two steaks, four sides for like $54. Amazing, amazing rates there. Long Branch Steakhouse. Tell Donnie J. Lehman sent you in the drive. And of course, last but not least, Dick Van Dyke Appliance were for all your appliance needs.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Trevor.
We made it work. Just the two of us with no game to talk about.
Just the two of us. I won't do it.
We could make it if we try.
All right.
Thanks, Jay.
See you.